Dr. Amalia Gonyas-Malka. Welcome to Womanity, Woman in Unity, the show that celebrates prominent and ordinary African women's milestone achievements in their struggles for liberation, self-emancipation, human rights, democracy, racism, socioeconomic class division, and gender-based violence. Joining us in studio today in Johannesburg are two pioneering University of Johannesburg researchers, professors who have been honored at the 2016 Women in Science Awards, Professor Catherine Ngila and Professor Esther Akinlabi. Professor Catherine Ngila holds a PhD in chemistry from the University of New South Wales, Australia. She has held academic positions at Kenyatta University, the University of Botswana, and the University of KwaZulu-Natal. In 2011, she joined the University of Johannesburg as a full professor of analytical environmental chemistry, and in 2012, she was appointed as the deputy head of department for applied chemistry, in charge of research and postgraduate studies. And in 2013, she became the head of department up until June 2016. Prof. Ngila's current research work focuses on nanotechnology for water treatment, water quality monitoring, and the development of analytical methods for detecting substances in various environmental matrices. Professor Esther Akinlabi is the department head for mechanical engineering science. She obtained her doctoral degree in mechanical engineering from the Nelson Mandela Metropolitan University in 2011. In 2016, she was promoted to the position of full professor. Owing to her exceptional research publication output, Prof. Akinlabi is ranked among the top four researchers in the University of Johannesburg's Faculty of Engineering and the Built Environment. And Prof. Akinlabi's research focuses on the field of advanced and modern manufacturing processes, such as laser additive manufacturing, in particular friction stir welding and laser material processing. Welcome to the show, ladies.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
On Thursday, the 11th of August this year, the Minister of Science and Technology in South Africa, Naledi Pandor, honored both of you at the National Department of Science and Technology's 2016 South African Women in Science Awards. It's about breaking new frontiers, asking new scientific questions, investigating new possibilities, and finding innovative solutions to support and promote the array of science and technology initiatives, which requires tenacity and a mark of real advance in science and research. Firstly, Prof. Ngila, can you share with us some of the work that you do?
Right. Now, thank you very much, and also greetings to our listeners. My research area, as you indicated, is in the analytical chemistry, environmental chemistry, where I'm developing analytical techniques to monitor substances in water. I've got a focus in water, particularly because of the water quality, the water resources, water access, and so forth and so on. Now, currently, we are investigating nanomaterials. So this is an area where you are dealing with nanosubstances, substances that at 1/1,000,000th of a meter. And so you can see that is very trace levels in terms of the sizes and the dimensions of these nanomaterials. The beauty of these nanomaterials is that we can be able to monitor, pollutants at very low levels, trace levels. In addition, you can also be able to filter water because we are dealing with nanofilters, nanomembranes, and these are materials, sorbents, adsorbents that can be able to remove trace levels of pollutants. Different types of pollutants can be removed. So that is my area of research.
And it's at a level where you cannot view it from the naked human eye.
No, you cannot. Actually, you have to use advanced technology in terms of a high-resolution scanning electron microscope. The microscopes that the majority of the people who are familiar with microscopy, they know about light microscopy. Now, we are dealing with electron microscopes. And these are microscopes can see see in quartz, things at very low scales. So we can actually be able to see, but we have to use the microscopes, transmission electron microscope, scanning electron microscope, atomic force microscopy. These are all techniques that you can be able to use to see these nanomaterials at very low dimensions.
And Prof. Nkinlabi, you've got a very structured career path. So how do you set your goals and how do you set your targets? Is it about, for instance, having some of these awards? Does it give you more motivation?
As a young researcher, the way and manner I have structured my goal in the past, which I also plan to continue, is to always look up to people that have achieved far more in research and also in their academic career ahead of me. And I always set my goals, some short-term, some medium-term, and also long-term goals as well. And these, I don't just do the goals as an individual. I always try as much as possible to also carry my entire team members along as well. And this award in particular, I see it as an empowerment, I see it as an encouragement and a strong motivation for me as a young researcher to continue in the work that I'm doing, seeing that this is now having some recognition and some, it's been noticed nationally and also internationally. Thank you.
And that's a significant achievement. And building on from that, what would be your ultimate achievement in the space that you're currently in now?
My ultimate achievement is to see myself as an international researcher, a globally recognized researcher in the next 5 years of my academic career.
We wish you all the very best of luck.
Thank you.
Attaining that goal. Now, you both bring a wide teaching portfolio in your respective expertise, whether it's on the electronic and electrical engineering or in the analytical and environmental chemistry, and you're involved in several research projects which run concurrently. And it gives you firsthand insight into what I'd call the demographic changes that have taken place in your specific areas of specialization over the years. And I ask us, particularly from the context of this show, with it being a gender empowerment and gender equality show for women. Prof. Giller, can you share with us your experiences from a female professor's point of view on your professional journey? Are there more women in the field of chemistry and research today than from when you started a few years back in this area of specialization?
No, thank you very much again. You are right. The area of science, chemistry, environmental chemistry, analytical chemistry, definitely when we look at the time when I started, say, in primary school, you know, there weren't so many women scientists. Of course, we already had women who had made a mark, like, for example, Professor Marie Curie. And that is a famous lady. And
she won two Nobel Prizes.
Yes, she did.
It wasn't just...
Yes, she did. And so as you grow up, you are looking up to see women who have made it, women who have also made it in other areas, not necessarily science and technology, but also the fact that they are women and they have made it out there. So that was, for me, an eye-opener, you know, as I was growing up. But let me just say my motivation was not so much, at that early stage, was not so much about doing science, a woman in science and all that, no. For me, the beginning point was I just wanted to get out of poverty. You know, I grew up in a background of a rural setup, and my father was a chief during the British colonial time in Kenya at the time. And we were a large family, and he believed in work. And so we have to wake up very early in the morning. First, before you go to school, you have to make sure that you have cultivated a piece of, you know, land. You have to go and fetch water and so forth and so on. Now, while I was still in primary school, my sisters were older than me, and they were already working in the city. So during the holidays, I would go to visit my sisters, and then I see the lifestyle they were leading, and then I look at back and what I'm doing. And I told myself, no way, I have to work hard so that I can be able to, you know, also go to the city and leave the rural areas. So that was my first motivation. Now, how did I then end up doing science? When I was in primary school, one of our relatives was the mathematics teacher in the primary school. And because he wanted me to excel, he used to make sure that he beats me, you know, if I don't make it in mathematics. He will ask me a question. If I don't answer, I get a beat. You know, I'll get a slap or maybe a stroke. And so because of that, I was always scared of being beaten. That's first and foremost. I also didn't want to let my teacher down because he believed in me. So I had to work so hard in mathematics, and mathematics being the foundation of many sciences. So I did very well in mathematics in primary school. And when I went to high school, secondary school, because the British system had the ordinary level as well as the advanced level. So at my ordinary level, I would then be dealing with Mr. Mackenzie, who was, he had just trained at the Kenya Teachers College, and he was very good. He used to dramatize everything about molecules and atoms and so forth and so. So again, because I wanted, I was so mesmerized by the way he taught. I just wanted to do chemistry.
And I think so many teachers are fundamental in us finding ourselves and channeling us in the right direction.
That is true. That is true. So, you know, as it goes, I did very well in chemistry at both O levels and A levels. And I went to university. At my first degree, I was the overall best student in the Faculty of Science, 1986. So that already the journey had started. And so I just kept on working in chemistry. And that is how I found myself in the chemistry field.
And over the years, in terms of from a gender point of view, have you looking back now, do you see that there's more women in the field of chemistry?
Yes, actually, today we would find that. In fact, if you did, I haven't done statistics, but you find that majority of the top achievers in chemistry these days are actually girls. Girls are doing very well in chemistry. Girls are doing very well in physics. Not so much in physics. I think physics is going towards the engineering side, like Esther. So you find there aren't so many girls who are interested in physics. But chemistry and biology, it's really girls are really doing very well. So that is, it has become a very popular, you know, it is now getting to be very popular in the sciences that a girl is going to be doing science in terms of chemistry, in terms of biology. And also we've got girls who have done very well in mathematics. So I would say today the myth of science is only for men is now no longer there.
We have to overcome that.
It has been overcome already because of the fact that there are so many women who have made it. I mean, look at Professor Tebelo Nyokong. Is my colleague in the field of chemistry, and she has received so many awards. So again, you know, we can be able to emulate that one of us is doing so well in this particular field of chemistry. So I would say today, unlike 20 years ago, unlike 30 years ago, the landscape has changed, that we've got equal opportunities, both girls and boys, to do well for as long as we've got interest in that particular area.
And moving from the chemistry field to the physics field and the engineering side, okay. Prof. Nkandlabi, do you think that the environment in South Africa is supportive enough towards female engineers? And are there any differences in how female engineers are perceived today in comparison to a few years ago?
Yeah, thank you. The environment in South Africa, I will say, is very supportive of female engineers, both in the industry, from my interaction with young girls that have graduated and working in the industry, and also in the academic sector. But the perception still remains that engineering is a male-dominated profession, and the men still believe that this is our world, and what are these women doing here? So that perception is still there, but it's changing, but a lot, I believe, still needs to be done with respect to improving the work relationship between the male counterparts to females in the workplace. And also among our young ones as well, the students, the undergraduate and the postgraduate, they are catching up so well with respect to the fact that I see in the team, both the male and the female students, they relate so well in team building, in practical sessions and doing things together as undergraduate students working together.
And looking at that ratio you're observing between young men and young women coming in, what would you say is the ratio of entrance?
The ratio of entrance is still relatively low. At the moment, in mechanical engineering, we sit at about only 10% of our student population are females. It's still about 90% are male in mechanical engineering. But it's not the same for all other engineering disciplines. So this is peculiar to mechanical. Now, if you look at the engineering field holistically, the overview, the percentage has increased far more than 10%. Even some have up to 20% and even up to 30%. But if we look at the engineering disciplines generally, now mechanical engineering on its own is now being referred to as a hardcore engineering discipline. So still very, very few women want to take up the challenge to actually go into mechanical engineering.
But I'm sure with both of you in the roles that you play and your capacity, you provide a function as a role model where people can look to you and know that it is possible and that these are environments that if I have the aptitude, if this is the choice of career path I want to take as a young woman, that these opportunities are open and they're tangible.
Definitely, Amelia. For me as an individual, I try as much as possible in my own little corner to be a role model to many young ones out there. And that was what actually spurred me into the Engineers Program in collaboration with the Engineering Council of South Africa. So I go from, I run workshops, engineering workshops in primary schools. Basically, we want to catch them young, and these workshops are targeted at grade 7 learners. So we go to schools, we use recyclable materials provided by the Engineering Council of South Africa. We do workshops with the students and then showcase ourselves. I go with a team of both young male and female students, undergraduates and postgraduates alike, and we build a motor car, we build civil engineering structures, and these are quite fascinating experiences for the young learners, and we've always had very good feedback from the learners that they're encouraged and they're motivated into taking up a career in engineering in the very near future.
And I think with the work that both of you do, you've got really strong practical applications, whether it is within the treatment of water or whether you are building a motor car, as opposed to just the theoretical pieces that may wash over some students. Mm-hmm. Today, we're talking to Professor Catherine Ngila and Professor Esther Akinlabi from the University of Johannesburg, who were honored at the 2016 Women in Science Awards. You are listening to Womanity, Woman in Unity on Channel Africa, the voice of the African Renaissance, on frequency 9625 kHz on the 31-meter band, also available on DSTV channel 802. We would love to receive your comments on Twitter at Womanity Talk. Now, this program, Womanity, Woman in Unity, it's all about gender equality, and as we know, it is becoming increasingly a global focus, and as such, building female leadership capacity is critically important for the future of women in our continent and across the world. How do you see female leadership, whether it is in the parliamentary space, the university environment, the business landscape, or any other field?
Looking at the landscape, and in fact also listening to the speech by the Minister of Science and Technology, Madam Naledi Pandor, the speech shows that we're still lagging behind as women, particularly in the top management. In her speech, if I might quote her, that this is an area that we want to continue working on, and we are making progress. And indeed, because again, when you look at historically, the women don't put themselves out there to join these positions or to occupy these positions. I think it's because of the fear that you don't want to be challenged, you don't want to sit there and compete. Mm. Also, the opportunities.
So would you say the positions exist?
Yeah, they
do
exist.
And it's a case that they're not applying for the roles?
In some cases, they don't apply. There is such being shy. I'll tell you, just using myself as an example, I came to know about the Women in Science Awards, and I kept on telling myself, no, I have to do more research, I have to supervise more students, I have to get more funding, I have to do a lot of international collaborations and so forth and so on, so that I can be able to accrue enough productivity in terms of outputs and so forth before I can get there. But look at that perception and take a man, probably during that time, I already had a very strong CV. A man would have just looked at the CV and said, no, I'm going to go for it. So you see, women always, they have to beat themselves up before, they go out there. And I think it is the same concept, the same attitude, the same mentality that women have, that, oh no, I'm not good enough, oh no, I have to wait, oh no, I don't want to be ridiculed, and so forth and so on. So these are the things that keep women behind. Mm-hmm. And if you look at also
self-doubt.
Exactly, self-doubt. So that self-confidence, it is not in every single woman. And women take so long before, they actually need somebody to push them out there to tell them that you are good. I'll tell you why I applied for this position. Why I applied for the awards. It's because Professor Sina, the Dean of Faculty of Engineering, because we sit in many committees together, he said, "Catherine, you should apply for this." And I said, no, that's for top women who are doing top research. He said, "No, Catherine, I know your CV. You should apply for it." And then I said, "Okay, Prof, if you say so, I will apply." And that is how I started. Now, I went to the internet, I checked, and then the research office contacted me because I think he gave out my name. So you can see it required a man to tell me I'm good enough so that I can apply for the awards. So you can understand it is a whole genetic makeup of a woman, always scared of going out there. And it's not all women, of course. There's those women who are already out there and they know what they want and they go for it. Again, depends on the exposure you are bringing. You know, as a girl, I know that I'm not supposed to be talking when men are there. So I must keep quiet until I'm asked a question. Then I answer and I keep quiet. It also happens, I go to the village today and let's say there is a wedding. There's negotiations about Lobola negotiations. I'm not supposed to sit in that panel, you know, because it's only men you're supposed to sit. So when you look at their upbringing and also they set up the culture, traditions, you know, women, we lag behind because of their upbringing. The exposure is limited. And also you're not allowed in some cases to, you know, to say out your, you know, loud your thing. So you realize that these are some of the constraints because of the environment, the background they're bringing, that as it keeps on, you know, lagging us behind or holding us behind before we can actually go out there.
But culture, it is a constraint, but yes. Also it's a human construct, so yes. We can change it.
Indeed, yes. You are right, Amelia. Culture is dynamic. It changes. I tell you, when I was growing up, as a girl, I was not supposed to eat some parts of chicken. I was not supposed to eat a goat, the head of a goat. But my father, being liberal, he used to say, come, outside. Everybody goes outside and we get a piece. And then our mothers would say, no, you're a girl, you're not supposed to eat that. So you can see the culture, traditions, and so forth. But today, I can go home, my brothers and sisters, we buy these goats and we slaughter them and eat all parts of the goat. So now you can see that is the culture has progressed in terms of evolution. It has evolved so that we are allowed to do some of these things. We are allowed to do this. We are allowed to do that. So you are right. Culture is dynamic and it will keep on changing. And so therefore, with time, you are going to find women out there doing as, if not better, you know, than men, doing us just as well as men. So it is just a matter of time and exposure and encouragement that is going to get us there.
Perfect. And Prof. Nkanabi, from your point of view, what areas do you think we still need to apply to women so that they can become more confident, they can put themselves out there more, take up those opportunities? What would you say we need to do?
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, my advice on that, I'll use my own personal experience as to speak out there to other women. Yeah, beyond my background, I also come from a very, very humble beginning. Grew up in a village, and my story is very, very similar to Professor Ngila. I'm not going to repeat all that, but very, very similar to what she has spoken about today. But the fact remains that I am somebody that, despite the culture, despite all the upbringing and the way I was brought up and all that, I have parents that will always tell me, you can do it. I always have parents that will always tell me a lot of positive things about me, that look, you are bold, you are confident, you can do it. Do not take no for an answer. Know that the fact that you're a woman doesn't mean that you are a lesser human being to a man. So always go out there, pursue your goals and see that you achieve. So academic excellence has been something that was I was made to know that it should be an attribute that should be part of me. And my father, in particular, of blessed memory, he read civil engineering. And he was actually the one that encouraged me into an engineering profession. He said, look, my daughter, it will pay you at the long run. It's a male-dominated field, but as a woman, if you go into the field and you're one of the very few in that field, you will definitely see yourself excelling, even far more than the male counterpart. But then, to the young women out there, every one of us, including me, must know that we are not lesser being to a man, to a male counterpart. And for me, what has brought me this far is hard work and diligence. And I also put those words out there too, to the young ones as well. If you want to achieve in life, you want men to respect you in your own sphere as a woman, we must be hardworking and be diligent in what we do. As an individual, I know that because as a woman, I have to work harder compared to my male counterpart for me to be recognized that, look, I am doing something in my own little sphere. So I work far, far harder, and I always ensure that I go beyond the call of duty in any assignment that I'm asked to do. And I also like to mention that for this award, the Wizard Award in particular, the same Prof. Sinner who encouraged Prof. Ngila to apply also told me as well, and said, Esther, you have to go for this. I know you qualify for it. He encouraged me and told me, I am nominating you. Ensure that you package your document and submit for the award. And I did, and see it happening today. I believe even beyond Professor Ngila and myself, he is actually the happiest person today. When he got the news and everything, he was really, really excited about that. Look, I knew the CVs of these women, and I told them to go for it. They did, and today they ended up being winners of the various categories. And I want to say thank you to Prof. Sinner. And Professor Marwala as well. He also gave a lot of support for us applying for the Wiza Award.
Yeah, no, Professor Marwala is our DVC research. He really believes in us. And, you know, he encourages, particularly in the field of science. I mean, science and engineering, but I meant to say in the area of research, because he's in charge of research productivity in the University of Johannesburg. So when he sees talent, he follows that, and he will call you on the phone. He will tell you, you know, like the day of the award, the following day, it was just before 7 o'clock in the morning, he called me. I said, Prof, don't call me because I am with the minister. No, you know, I am not supposed to, my phone is supposed to be on silent. He said, no, I want to take this minute just to tell you we are so proud of you and Esther. And I know you're going to be in the live, morning live program. And so I wish you all the best. And I'll speak with you later. Even today, he sent me a message. He said, I know you're going for Channel Africa. And I wish you all the best. Just know that we are very proud of you at University of Johannesburg.
That's fantastic. And research is such a key metric in our academic institutions. That's what we aspired to do.
Indeed.
And to advance.
Indeed.
And it's about advancing humanity, because everything that we do is about building on the next level that's gone before us.
Very true.
Into the future.
Very true.
Today, we're talking to Professor Catherine Ngila and Professor Esther Akinlabi from the University of Johannesburg, who were honored at the 2016 Women in Science Awards. You are listening to Womanity, Woman in Unity on Channel Africa, the voice of the African Renaissance, on frequency 9625 kHz on the 31-meter band, also available on DSTV channel 802. We would love to receive your comments on Twitter at Womanity Talk. Now, Professor, turning more towards a personal level, one of the questions that I ask all my guests on this program who've made significant achievements in their respective fields is about the factors which have contributed to their success and their achievements. Some talk about hard work. Both of you have mentioned your parents of being instrumental in guiding you forwards. And Prof. Ngila, you've also shared some of your personal background as you were growing up. So starting with Prof. Ngila, can you share with us some of the pivotal moments in your life growing up on what influenced you and what had the biggest impact to make you the person you are today?
Yeah. Thank you, Amelia. And thank you to the listeners as well. I must say that I am one of the very few women, a career woman, that has been very fortunate to have a very good support system. I've grew up through the ranks to see myself being very supportive from my immediate family, My husband has been very supportive, the children as well. And I'll try to juggle my schedule with this, the busy schedule, and trying to do my primary roles as being a mother, as being a wife, and being at home, and you are the chief chef, and you have to do the cleaning and everything. So I've been able to juggle all of that together, and I realized that over time we do all these things together. We do all the cooking together, the cleaning in the house. We do all of that together, and also to some colleagues as well that we are able to also chip in one or two things and try to work with me. And also, I must also mention my research team. I have a formidable big research team, 7 postdoctoral fellows and 28 postgraduate students. They believe in me as their supervisor. We are fond of each other. We work together. We are in the laboratory together. And I have a very good team that we work together. So all these are what I see today that has contributed in one way or the other to the achievements, the success of who I am today. And that is Esther Holistically. Thank you.
And Prof. Ngiela, what would you say has been the best lesson that you've learned throughout your career to date?
Well, you've already mentioned hard work. So that definitely I can testify to that. I have worked very hard over the years. But also, as Esther put it, support system. Support system is very important. As he mentioned, that my father was very proud of me. I'll tell you, my father was not very learned. He wasn't, I think he only did, lower primary. That is the farthest he went. But he was a chief during the colonial time in Kenya, during the British rule. I remember when I was in A-levels, in the upper high school, he would write letters to me. And when I received the letters, the girls would be laughing. You know why? Because instead of, and that is just translating from our language in Swahili, Kiswahili, he would write there, "Dear Bwana." Bwana means Mr. So he used to call me Bwana, which is Mr. And you could tell that he was so proud of me, having passed well to go to high school. So that was already an encouragement. Unfortunately, he passed away also when I had just finished my A-levels. But at the deathbed, he said, he asked a question. He said, has she managed to get the highest degree? He didn't understand what degree meant. But he knew what the degree meant, but he didn't know about master's and PhD. So he said, did Catherine get the highest degree? And so he was told, yes, because I had just passed my A-levels to go to the university. And then, within hours, he passed away. So I always look back and I say, I believe that my father's blessings have taken me where I am. But also now coming back to also the environment where I've grown, my sisters, my brothers, and my children now. But also when I look at the university, at the high school, at the university, we always had people who were always out there for me. I remember when I was doing my master's, when I got a first class honors being the best student, I went to teach. And then one of the mathematics teacher, because he was my math teacher at the university, he called me, he looked for me, and he said, "No, you must come back and do your master's." I said, "No, I just want to teach." He said, "No, you must come back. You got a scholarship from the German Academic Exchange Services. You must come and do your master's." So I came back to the university and started enrolled for master's. And now from master's, obviously, one thing led into another. I got another scholarship to go to Australia. And then, of course, the path is made. So now the environment around me helped me to, realize that I've got this talent. I can work hard, and I should be able to work hard and get there. So that is my background in terms of just the environment, and also in terms of the support of who are around me, who have helped me to get to where I am today. Thank you.
Well, thank you for sharing some of the ingredients and also the recipe that has contributed to both of your successes.
Yes.
We unfortunately are running out of time, and it's probably the worst part of the show is that we never have enough time.
Yes.
But in closing the conversation, our broadcast goes across Africa, and I know that your roots, Fangila, are from Kenya.
Yes.
And for you, Prof. Akinlabi, you're from Nigeria. Mm. So, and in your own words, may I ask you each, just to, in closing our conversation today, to share a few words of inspiration or of wisdom that you'd like to pass on to women in our continent?
To start with me, Amelia, I know that we are closing and, of course, it's short time. But my message out there to women who are in the science, women who are in economics, women who are doing whatever they are doing, just put your faith and your efforts, and you know where you are going, you know your goal, and you want to get it. Of course, there are going to be challenges on the way, but just keep focused and work as much as you can towards that particular goal, and you are going to get there. Asante sana kwa wale wamesha nisaidia nifike kwenye nimefika mahali hapa ya research. Nimeshukuru sana na kwa kusaidiwa na wale wamesha nisaidia wenye wamesha nionyeshe njia. Nimesema asante sana. Thank you.
Thank you very much. And to you, please, Prof. Nkinlabi.
Yeah. From me, I always say that hard work and diligence pays. You can never go wrong if you're hardworking in all, in whatever you find yourself doing, and also you are diligent in that which you find yourself doing. And to the women out there, the young ones in particular, do not look down on yourself. Always go for it. Know that you are wired to excel in life. Thank you.
Thank you so much for sharing your stories, for sharing your passion and the successes that have come out of the fruits of your labor. You have been listening to Womanity, Woman in Unity on Channel Africa, the voice of the African Renaissance. And we have been talking to Professor Catherine Ngila and Professor Esther Nkinlabi from the University of Johannesburg, who were both honored at the 2016 Women in Science Awards. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you.